Well, turn with me, if you will, to a familiar verse, chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13 and verse 5. And here, Paul, in the context, the Corinthians are questioning Paul's ministry, and they're seeking proof of Paul's ministry, his authority. They're seeking proof, witness that Christ is speaking in and through him, and that he is indeed that living example. And then Paul also turns it around to the Corinthians and also asks them to examine themselves if they are in the faith and they're walking according to the gospel that they profess and say. And so very often God will do that. Jesus sometimes used to do that in his ministry. They question and ask him, and then he'd turn it around and find out where they stand. And God does that, and he does that with us, to find out where we stand. And those who humbly walk before God and who seek him with all their heart, soul, mind and being will only be too prepared and willing to examine themselves and to find out where they are in the faith and whether they are pleasing God. And so with that in light, we can now understand what he says here in verse 5, to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And so he's not questioning here whether they are or are not believers, but what he is raising is a question to examine yourselves whether you are in the faith, whether you are maintaining the faith, whether you are keeping with it, whether you have digressed or you have taken on another view, another thought. Now, one thing that we have to settle with regard to the faith, that we have to believe that God, through the years of him working with your life, my life, working with this assembly, that God is building precept upon precept, line upon line. And that is how he builds. And we are all unanimous that what God has in this building with regard to this church has taken years. And God has not made a mistake with what he has given us, what revelation he blesses us with, his presence. He continues ever to confirm week after week that he has not made a mistake, even though our circumstances would say otherwise. And through God building, ever confirming the faith, establishes our hearts, not only in unity and fellowship, but it broadens our heart and our love and affection and respect for God. He knows how to win our affection. He knows how to woo us. He knows how to get that love from us for him. And God isn't about to cause you to ride from one ministry to another, to be never sure whether this is of God or it's not of God. They are not the conditions that God brings his sheep into. We're told in John that he brings his sheep into the fold. And those folds, those conditions are kept by a good shepherd, the great shepherd. And he feeds and he nurtures and he looks after us. And even though we may go through trials and even though we can hear those wolves outside, yet God says, I will preserve and keep you from them. That is how God wins our love, our affection, our respect. And absolutely right. God isn't about to ask you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind and being, unless he reveals himself as the great shepherd who can provide and look and keep after his sheep. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. You'll only go so far and you'll say, well, if this is God's love, you can keep it. Yet the world do that and say that. And they are the very things that we are to examine, to seek. That is what Paul is raising to the Corinthian church, because they're raising questions. And you raise questions at times. And you raise questions about this church. And you have asked. And God retorts and comes back through the Holy Spirit, simply confirming his love, his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering, his compassion. Everything that he is, he continues to work with us. And even when we sin and we miss it, how quickly he brings us back into fellowship and harmony with him. And so, here we are. We examine ourselves. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is good. That is healthy. Wish to God that more churches would challenge believers to do likewise. It is a healthy thing. Many things have to be brought into the fore, into the light. To examine, to test. Even democracy, which God permits and allows, has to be brought into examination, into light, and tested. And that's exactly what is happening in this nation at the moment. And there's nothing wrong with it. Even though we may get revelations coming out each day of ministers, MPs, and so on, yet there's nothing wrong with that. That is good. That is healthy. That is a sign God is answering prayers. Saints who still pray for this nation, even though it is falling away. And it's the same in your lives. It's the same in a marriage. Sometimes in a marriage, God is going to expose it. He's going to bring it to light. So that you both have to examine yourself before Almighty God. And it's pretty awful what comes out. But that is good. That is healthy. And that's what God is doing in this church. He's doing it in individuals' lives. He's doing it in your life, my life. Where we have to come and examine ourselves. Am I in the faith? Am I deceiving myself in certain areas? And we can, and we do. Let's take the great healing question. Am I in faith for my healing? And God sometimes is going to work in such a situation, where is he going to expose it? And he's going to ask you to examine yourself, to test yourself, to humble yourself, to come clean before God. Because some of these things are serious. Some of these things, if we're not in faith, can be life and death situations. And that's why we've had some who've died prematurely. Things in the faith walk that should never have happened. Because saints didn't take heed to when God was bringing a thing to light. It's not because he hates us. It's not because he's against us, because he loves us. And his standard, his holiness, requires this. And even when God does bring things into light, he's going to protect you from that light. Otherwise you would be burnt up. The same with Moses. Moses desired to see God. But what God was saying, okay, you can see me, but be ready for the exposure. Because my light, my presence, will expose anything that is wrong there. Any unbelief, it will be exposed. And we want more of the presence of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy. But even he has to preserve us. Else we're going to be burnt up. We're going to be destroyed. By that unbelief. And unbelief, as Romans 11:6 tells us, is sin. And so he preserves us by the blood of the Lamb. And that is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. For that very thing. And so Paul says here, you examine yourselves. You test yourselves whether you're in the faith. What is a testing? What is tests? Well, they do it at school to find out the level of where students are so that they can grade, they can assess, and that where their weaknesses come out, they can help and work on those weaknesses. And so God does exactly the same. And we are tested. That is why we go through trials. He says, test yourselves. Test yourselves in the light of God's word. Test yourselves when you come under the anointing and you hear the anointed word preached week after week. Test yourselves. And the way you do it is by, as you hear the word, as you hear God have your name and address on those areas, you test, you ask yourself, am I in faith in this area or am I not? Set a test. You'll soon see. You'll soon see if you humbly walk before God. You'll soon see whether you're believing that God will supply all your needs, that he will pay those bills, that he will preserve and keep your loved ones, your children. It can just go on and on and on. They're all called the promises of God. But you have to test yourself. You have to be honest. You have to be humble. And that is what God has been working and challenging us. And that is precisely what the Apostle Paul turned around to the Corinthians. Because they were demanding it from him. And Paul in his conscience was clear. Was clear. He was bearing the marks of the gospel. He was not brought under condemnation. And the authority of an apostle here can turn that question right round and bring it back to those who are questioning and asking. That is an apostolic authority. And that is what he did. And he says, now you examine yourselves. You see where you are. You make a lot of noise. You make a lot of profession. Now, does your life live up to it? And that is the question. And he says, not only does it live up to it and everything, but I want you to test yourself. And that was what was going to sort out the men from the boys. Not just to examine yourself, but actually apply a test. And you can do it. And you apply those tests, and you will find out where you are with regard to your grading. Sometimes we don't want to apply those tests because we are ashamed of what the results will be. Some students don't want to go for exams and tests, and the reason why they don't want to, because they know full well they have not paid the price to study, and they'll know probably what the result will be. But there's nothing wrong with tests. There's nothing wrong with tests in education, because all of this is brought out at the moment, whether they should be or they shouldn't be, or what age should they apply tests and so on. There's nothing wrong with the tests. It's how the tests are applied. That is what is wrong. Tests are wrong when they are applied and manipulated in a competitive way. That is wrong. Each test should be applied on a student's level and ability. A test is a personal test. It is not a test that is to be competitive, to cause jealousy amongst students. That is not what tests are about. And it is exactly the same with God. The test that we apply and are challenging you with this morning is not a test that is to be competitive, or even though you are in a race. But that test is for you, and it is between you and God. Why do I say that? Because the scriptures tell us that it is you who works out your salvation in fear and trembling. We only ever point you to the Word of God. And so, because Paul was walking that standard, he wanted them to apply that same standard to themselves that they were applying to him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Again, here is Paul exhorting the Corinthians in the first letter. He's telling them to be watchful. And that understanding of watchfulness means to watch your progress also. To be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. To examine yourselves. To be watchful. Now only the humble, only those that are willing to bow the knee in God's presence will have that watchfulness. And it will also be a watchfulness of discerning the enemy, the predator that may be around. And he says not only that, but to stand fast in the faith. And that is what we do. We stand fast, we are resolute in the faith with what God has given to us. And we don't deviate from it. We don't compromise on it. Whatever your trial, whatever you go through, you stand fast in the faith. And believe God with that simple, childlike faith that we heard this morning in prophecy. And that fundamentally is what God is doing with us. He's uncomplicating our faith that we have made complicated. I heard this morning in prophecy that God doesn't want us approaching him religiously. That we've approached God on a religious level by praying certain things, that I must pray for this, I must pray for that, I must read at least 3 chapters and commit it to the Lord and so on. We still do it at times. Now, it's not to say that we deviate from that. Oh no, that's not what I'm saying. But it is a walk. It is a relationship. It is being in his presence. Just knowing his presence. Soaking up his presence. Being still, for the presence of the Lord is near. And you have to make yourself available for that. In order for the Holy Spirit to teach you that. To impart that to you. You cannot work up anything. You cannot experience the presence of the Lord unless you ask, unless you believe for it, make yourself available for it, and then he will work it within you. That's how he does it. This is where religious man goes wrong. And so he tries to build these monastic refuge places. These places of where they go. And build a religious order so they can be still. And you'll notice that the building, the presence, they relate to as the presence of God. God isn't in that. That's religion gone wrong. That is man not examining himself whether he's in the faith or not. Not applying those tests. Because he's too proud to do that. Therefore, he builds a religious, monastic environment. That is not what God calls us to do. God's presence should be with you wherever you go each day. But there is within that day an intimate presence that is to be between you and God, which he does not share with anyone else. That is important. That is where you grow. That is where you learn about the Lord. So he says, stand fast in the faith. Don't move away. Whatever the trial, whatever is happening, whatever you're hearing, whatever lies that come along, don't move. Just stand fast in the faith. Remain there. Stand right in that trial, and God will deliver you. He will bring you through. This is when the devil tries to get you to look to other things. He gets you to try and doubt that God is faithful and that he really loves you. Be brave. Be strong. Well, to be brave can only be a work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that to be brave comes when you're a person who stands fast. And you're brave in that trial. That is what he says there. And be strong. Well, the strength is seen in the weakness, is it not? That is where the true strength is seen. And so, whatever your circumstances, that is where you're strong. And I have very often said to myself, when it's raging around you and everything is going wrong and everything is being exposed and you just think, what next is around the corner? And yet at the same breath I say, praise God, I'm actually at my strongest. Isn't it laughable? Isn't it ridiculous? I'm at my strongest when I'm at my weakest. You know? Oh, by the way, we're calling this morning Walking According to What We Confess. I forgot to give the title, didn't I? Yeah? Walking According to What We Confess. And you see, that is what Paul challenged them with. He turned it right round and he said, but what are you believing? What are you confessing? Examine yourself. Examine your confession. Examine what comes out of your mouth. And there doesn't go a day when something comes out of our mouth that we're ashamed. If we're to be honest. If we're to be honest. And yet God says, examine that in the light of the word. And it's for a reason. It's for a reason. It isn't that God hates us. It's to draw us closer to him. Every exposure is actually to draw you closer to God in love and fellowship. Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that ridiculous? Now you think about that. That works totally contrary in relationships that we have with each other. More exposures in relationships or in marriage actually repels a relationship. But it doesn't with God. The more God exposes, the more it draws you together with him. Completely contrary to our love, isn't it? See, our love is eros. It is sensual. It is a love that's based on what I want and what I will get out of it. But that is completely contrary to God's love. God says, I love you enough that I'm going to expose. And I'm going to expose sin. And I'm going to bring all of this yuck out. And that is the way we will experience more of our love. You try doing that with a relationship in the world. And I guarantee you it wouldn't last a couple of weeks. In fact, it isn't. The signs are clearly show us. 1 in 3 divorce. 1 in 3. Because circumstances, what's happening in the world, the pressures, you name it, and everything, it's all, and that's why relationships are so volatile. They're so up and down, hot and cold, just like these soaps that are on television, not that I watch them, but they're hot and cold all the time. At one another's throats, next minute they'll die for each other and so on. It's like in the world. Like in the world. Little wonder that relationships never work. There's no respect, no love. No, a relationship is tested in time by the fires. No, no. True relationships will be willing to embrace all the weaknesses as well. And believe me, there are many. And it doesn't take long for the honeymoon to pass. It doesn't. And it's so tragic that we see love so shallow today. And it is, it's terribly shallow. Why? Because the love of many is waxing cold. It is the falling away. And that is why we hear these terrible stories of abuse that goes on. Things that you hear now in the news that you can't get your mind around. That is so deranged. And so on. And yet the love of God, God takes us on. He never makes a mistake. He takes us on and he clothes us and he covers us. He provides for us. He has atoned for us. And he wants these exposures so that you can experience more of him. How great is God's love? There's no beginning. There's no end. Where do you start with it? Where do you end? I don't know. I haven't got the answers. That is the love of God. Ever working with us, ever exposing what comes out. And yet, we don't take it for granted. Because of that great and infinite love, yet he teaches us not to take it for granted, but that we cherish it. It is the greatest gift that is ever given to man. That God can love the unlovable. And never places any conditions in that sense. The only conditions are placed in this life that will preserve us and keep us. But God's love is not conditional. His eternal love, his love which was given to you from the foundation of the world, was not a love based on any condition. It is only the law of God's law, the word, that has based it on a condition in this life simply only to preserve us. As we make shipwreck of it. But his eternal love is unconditional. He chose to love you before the foundation of the world. Period. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is the great news of the gospel. And that is why maturity, sonship, as we're growing up, is based on living and acting by faith. What we read, what we believe in God's word. And that is why he works with you. He removes hindrances to your faith, because he's going to have your faith active. And that is what you examine yourself in. And that is what Paul turned it around to the Corinthians. And said, but are you believing and acting that what you confess? That is the question. And therefore I want you to examine yourself in that light. And only the humble will do that. I've had to do it. And I've had to read down and said, Father, this. I fall desperately short of this. There doesn't go a day where I am not acting the word as I should. And therefore, what is that? That is unbelief. Call it exactly what it is. But let's deal with that unbelief. Let's get that unbelief under the blood of the Lamb. Because God has exposed it. And why has he exposed it? Because he loves me. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. And so maturity is based on living and acting by faith what we read, believe in God's word. And what is the test for the body? Do we believe for this church? Do we believe for each other? Do we pray one for another? Here it is. We know it well in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgments. There we are. So for the church, for us, Paul says, examine yourselves, test yourselves. Is that what goes on in full gospel assembly? Only you can answer that. And you'll only answer that, and you will see that answer clearly, if your knees are bowed in the presence of God, in humility. Do we speak the same thing? Do we, in other words, embrace the revelation that God gives to us week after week after week? Is our confession, our belief in the promises of God, do we agree in that? Do we agree with whatever promise God brings out to believe for? Are we in agreement, in harmony on that? That's what it means. That we speak the gospel. We speak the same thing. We speak of God's love the same. That there be no divisions among you. Well, divisions can work in a different ways. Divisions can be caused by heresy, by a different belief or interpretation of Scripture. Now, that's not something that you all arrive to immediately, but they will cause divisions, or gossip, slander will cause divisions. Wrong attitudes towards someone will cause divisions. And he says that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. So we have that same mind. That mind, it means a right attitude. I have a right attitude towards my brother, my sister. That attitude is that we're all in this race together. We're all in the assembly together. If one suffers, I suffer. If my brother or sister's going through whatever they're going through, I am going through that as well. It means to have that same mind. To be perfectly joined together with that mind. That we have the mind of Christ. We're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to this church. We're all in agreement with what the Spirit is saying today. We're not questioning it or fighting against it. That we're all moving together as God's people. And having the same judgment. Sometimes we have to judge. A righteous judgment. Sometimes it's been church discipline. But we're in agreement, in harmony. We might not like it, but we know it's right. Test yourself. Examine. See. These are things we have to look at in light of this church. And as I bring this to a close, love, unity will be the sign. Love, unity amongst the saints will be the sign. Sign of what? God's love. How is God going to be seen on this world unless we love one another? Then the Lord will come, which will be the sign. Unity will be the sign, and the Lord will come, which will be the sign. So it's first got to start with us. It's being restored with us. Then the Lord will come to show the sign that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is why the Apostle Paul rooted around to that church, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith yourselves. That Jesus Christ is in you, which is the hope of glory. Only you can do that. Is Christ in me? He lives life in and through me? That is the test. And only you can answer that. So walk according to what we confess.